This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Creation.
Curiosity.
The next idea.
We weren't setting out to do these huge things. We were just starting with solving a problem we hoped a few other people had.
You can't have a successful entrepreneurial community without money. And that's exactly why venture capitalists play such a critical role in helping Michigan startups get up and running. A new report from the Michigan Venture Capital Association tells us 54 startups in our state got more than $222 million from Michigan VC firms last year, and that's up 42% from the previous 5 years. We hear that term venture capitalist a lot. We get that they help the economy and they create opportunities. But how many of us really know what they do and how they do it? So let's get a crash course in Venture Capitalism 101. With us now, Evan Ufer with Plymouth Growth Partners of Ann Arbor, and from Invest Detroit Ventures, Adrian Omer. Welcome to both of you to The Next Idea.
Thank you.
So glad to have you here. So let's start right at square one. I'm going to toss this one to you first of all. Adrian, what do venture capitalists do?
Our core job is to find really interesting opportunities, different companies that are doing really interesting things broadly, and decide whether or not we want to invest in them and help them grow so that they can hopefully one day make a lot of product or services and eventually create money.
And when you're looking around, what criteria do you look for, you know, deciding just what companies that you want to invest in, Evan?
Sure. So so we're in the growth stage world, and so we're looking for companies that have proven commercialization. So these are not typically at a whiteboard with an idea. These are companies that have real customers that sell a product or a service that have demonstrated traction and a business model that works. And ultimately, even at the stage that we're at, you're investing in people. And so you're looking for a great experienced team that's done it before and that you're aligned with.
So the seed has been planted, the little plant is poking its head up through the ground, and you're going to water it.
Correct. And at the end of the day, we're partnering with these firms to help them grow their businesses. That's ultimately what a venture capitalist is doing.
And Adrian, you come in at a little bit of a different stage. Tell us what you do.
Yeah, I'm much earlier than Evan. So we're the ones finding the seeds and planting them and hopefully getting just a little bit of water to get them to sprout. And so that requires just a little bit different of a view of the world.
And what is that? What do you look for then?
Yeah. So, I mean, people run it, right? It's even if an idea is phenomenal and there's great technology associated with it, if they don't see the world in a different way than kind of me or anyone else, then it's really hard to kind of believe this vision of the world that may or may not exist today.
So you want disruptors, you want people that look outside the parameters and look beyond.
Yeah, we want someone who just sees something going differently in the world, and it doesn't currently exist today. And you have to plant a lot of those seeds to figure out which ones actually can grow. And so we are super active across the state to find those seeds. Just get them into the ground. Let's see if they can even sprout.
You know, for instance, what kind of companies might we be talking about? What kind of efforts?
Yeah. So, you know, one of my most recent favorite ones specifically is a team here based in Ann Arbor, a company called Work It Health that, you know, the two founders were both former alcoholics, met in AA. AA worked for them, but they saw a number of their friends dying from alcoholism and addiction issues. And they asked themselves the question, is there a way to genuinely disrupt AA, right? And give people another option that's not one, abstinence-based, and two, actually meets them where they are in terms of mobile world, on their computers, through work maybe. And when they came to us, it was an idea. They had made some whiteboards, so they'd sketched out some cool stuff. But when we met them, and it's two female founders too, which is another kind of added differentiation for them. And when we met them, they were having a rough time finding people who believed their vision of the world, either because those people weren't alcoholics or didn't understand the problem kind of intimately. And I think too, because they were two women, had some rough experiences trying to get that money. And so, you know, we love them. We absolutely believe them, mostly because they experienced the problem themselves.
So they
was genuine.
They'd lived it.
They lived it.
But they were looking at it from a completely different point of view.
Yeah. And so we just absolutely love them funded them very early in their life and now have gone on, you know, to raise a significant amount of more money, getting into businesses. You know, businesses are now offering Work at Health as a product for their employees through employee wellness programs. So we're like making real revenue, you know, have raised real money, both from Michigan and the East Coast and the West Coast now. And so, but they're here in Michigan, you know?
And Evan, give me a sense of somebody who's been further along in the cycle that you consider a success story.
Yeah, and the companies that folks like Adrian are fostering that growth, when they hit that point, and I know the company and know the entrepreneurs that he's talking about, when they hit that point of real customers and real growth is when someone like us will come in with a little bit more significant amount of capital to kind of get them to that next stage.
You have deeper pockets.
Yes.
You guys have.
Well, we have a larger fund, but also we're focused on a little bit later stage businesses, and those often do require more capital to go hire the next great team and help them with their sales and marketing efforts. And so the kind of companies that Adrian is talking about is exactly where we play as well. It's a lot of technology businesses. It's cloud-based businesses, it's software, it's IT services, it's a bunch of some of the buzzword things that you're talking about, but ones that have actually found commercialization. So you hear about, you know, the Internet of Things, and you hear about big data, and you hear about cloud-based companies, and those are often the ones that are kind of disrupting. So in a similar way, a recent one that we worked on that's based in Detroit is in the marketing technology space, and they provide kind of advertising technology around offers. So if you're a company that wants to get to the next group of people, and so you have your existing list of customers, but you want to take that existing list of customers and ramp that up to multiples of that amount, they provide these offers. And so they provide this offer, you'll get it on your phone, and then you can share it on social media channels and offer it to all of your friends. And so there's this kind of viral, very quick impact to a business, and they're, you know, again, in a somewhat disruptive way, where traditional advertising is very hard to prove your ROI, your return on investment for that advertising dollars, this company can prove an amazing return on dollars spent. And so you have these giant Fortune 500 companies spending a lot of money with this relatively small but successful startup in the Detroit area to help them grow their businesses. And so you have giant companies that are, you know, publicly traded, spending tons of money on this Detroit company because they've proven it.
We're getting a crash course in Venture Capitalism 101 as we talk with Evan Ufer from Plymouth Growth Partners of Ann Arbor and from Invest Detroit Ventures, Adrian Omer. And I think the thing that most civilians do not get at all is where do you get the money from?
Yeah. No, and, you know, I think every fund will have a little bit of a different story about where they get their money. But broadly speaking, you know, you get it either from institutional capital, which is a sexier word for rich institutions, you know, pension funds, you know, people who manage a lot of money, and or rich people, right, who have extra money they want to invest. So those are generally the mix, you know, and how those break down are, you know, kind of just inside lingo. But it's generally a mix of rich people and rich institutions. And so for us, you know, it's a mixture of certain foundation money and also kind of rich people who have invested in us, taking a bet on us in the same way we're taking a bet on these companies.
And for funds like Adrian's as well as ours that are either state-focused, kind of locally focused, or regionally focused, all of our investors at the end of the day have to care about this region.
Yeah.
So if they're institutions and foundations, they care about job growth, or they care about, you know, having their underlying customers get the financial wherewithal to grow and to foster job growth and all of that stuff. And then from the high net worth individual side, those folks are almost always from Michigan or went to Michigan. And so there's a lot of places to put your capital these days if you have money and you have people calling on you all the time. So you have to care about this region, and especially in Michigan, to come into our fund, which has the same mix of institutions and high net worth individuals, or Adrian's fund, which is a little more locally focused.
Mm-hmm. What don't you invest in? Like brick and mortar shops, for instance?
Yes, we don't invest in brick and mortar. And I think that for us is, you know, always going to be a challenge because of how early we invest, because we are finding those seeds. Mm-hmm. And you see incredibly successful brick and mortar bakeries and awesome little shops popping up, especially in Ann Arbor and Detroit, where you just kind of have this rebirth of kind of really creative capital kind of coming in, but we don't. For our money to go to work, it's not efficient to be investing in those brick and mortar businesses, especially when banks and bank loans kind of play a place there.
How about you guys?
It's similar. So most of our capital is going into product and services businesses, a lot for the same reason. You hear this term about capital efficiency. We care tremendously about where a company has gotten versus kind of how much capital they've raised. So a lot of the teams that are the most impressive to us have bootstrapped for a long time. They have self-funded. They have found grant dollars or other kind of cheaper capital ways of growing. If you've gotten to a meaningful size business where we're going to invest by and taking on very little capital, that's a great sign of a good business model, a good entrepreneur, and something that we want to be involved with.
As part of the venture capital sector, how important is it to Michigan's entrepreneurial ecosystem?
I think it's of utmost importance. And I think it's, you know, we as a state have historically relied on a few industries to kind of really help us grow from a state perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think VC, venture capital and entrepreneurship is one of the core ways, if not the key way, to diversify that economy mm-hmm. away from a reliance on certain industries in particular. And I think without that economic diversity and without that economic growth, in those diverse industries, it's going to be very hard to attract both the human capital and so extremely talented people to want to stay here or come here and keep people here. It's mission critical for me. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think, Evan and I would both say the reason we came to Michigan from the East Coast is because of that diversity and the opportunity to get in on the ground floor and help the state kind of diversify from an economic perspective.
It's also a really underserved segment of the market.
Yeah.
And so before companies get very large and have a lot of cash flow or have a lot of assets where a bank will lend against, there's just simply not a lot of capital available for young businesses and young entrepreneurs. And so it's a critical part, especially in technology companies, especially where you don't have brick and mortar to lend against where a bank is going to get interested. So we really bridge that gap, both on the early side, which is where Adrian plays, and more on the kind of that growth stage side, before you get to the point where someone says, there's a heck of a lot of capital available for a very large, successful business, right?
One of the views, fair or not fair, we could say even a criticism of the venture capital industry and of the tech entrepreneurship space more broadly, is the lack of diversity. Now, this new report from the Michigan Venture Capital Association said nearly $17 million was invested in Michigan startups led by a CEO who is a minority, is female, or identified as LGBTQ. So there is that. But how do you respond to that? Is that perception that there's a diversity problem in venture capitalism?
I think you acknowledge it because it's true. I think that there is a problem. I think that there are a lot of statistics nationally. Look, I don't think this is a Michigan problem. I don't think this is a venture capital problem. This is a broader issue, right? There's a lot of statistics out there. If you look at Fortune 500 businesses, how many of the CEOs or C-level executives are female? How many are minorities? It's a vastly underrepresented population. Now, Michigan has some statistics where we're doing a little better than the national averages, but we have a whole lot more to do and a long ways to go. So the, you know, the first step is acknowledging it and realizing it's there. And then the next step is all of us who are in the industry figuring out ways of helping and improving upon that in the coming years.
Adrian.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with Evan said. It's one of the reasons why I really wanted the Michigan Venture Capital Association to focus on this. They started reporting these numbers last year and have continued to do so this year, so that we, to what Evan said, can reckon with that problem and figure out what we need to do better. And I think to what Evan said earlier too, one of the realest ways to increase diversity from both an educational standpoint to get them into our pipeline to be VCs or to be entrepreneurs is by really finding them at their seed stages and saying, your idea is worthy and your idea is strong and it's good. Let's take a bet on you and see if this risk pays off. And if you make a few million dollars off of that, you've changed not just your life, but everyone around you, and getting those kids into college, getting those kids to take those other risks that, you know, risk taking is something that's only affordable for people who already have wealth. And we want to change the number of people who have wealth and what they look like. And I think venture capital gets you there.
Well, I think you've almost answered the question I wanted you to tackle at the end, which is the fact that, you know, outside of tech entrepreneurs or venture capitalists, why should the average Michigander care about the health of the venture capital industry here?
Oh, man, because it's a huge piece to the economy. It's a huge piece to diversifying the types of businesses we have here, the types of jobs that we have here. When we put dollars into a company, 100% of the time it's going towards job growth. It's going towards sales jobs and marketing jobs and development jobs. And, you know, that is a critical piece to having Michigan's economy moving forward and diversifying away from some of the industries that are having a little bit more of the challenges that we all know about, right? It's a critical piece to the next steps, and both from a diversity standpoint of diversifying the people involved, but also the types of industries that are kind of taking Michigan's economy forward over the next couple decades.
Yeah, I mean, and exactly what Evan said, I like to personalize it a little bit where it's, you know, one of your listeners has this idea that's just been sitting with them, right? And they just have to figure out if they can actually do it, either because they are doing something at work that's super inefficient and they're just doing the same thing every day and they know they can automate it. They know they can make, you know, a massive improvement on what they're doing, or they just have had an idea forever. I put the question to them, who's going to take that risk on you? If you're not already wealthy, if you don't already have a network of very rich people around you that can say, yeah, I'll write you a $50,000 check, because for me, that's not a real option. And so I ask those people, you know, and your listeners, who will take that risk on you when you want it? It's not a bank. A bank will never do that. It's us, right? We're the people that will take that risk.
Willing to roll the dice.
We're willing to roll the dice. Our business model is to probably fail more than we succeed in terms of the number of investments we have. And so that's our business model. We want to take that risk. There are definite problems with how you get to us, right? We should be better at it. It's really just a pipeline issue of how you access us. But once you get to us, we're there to listen. We're there to hear you out. And if you're not there yet, we're there to put you into resources that can get you there, that can take those even earlier stage risks on you.
It's a pretty small community of folks.
Yeah.
We see people all the time that are a little early, but that we say, Adrian, this is a really interesting group of people, or this is a really interesting idea. You guys should tackle this. And he does that with other folks. And so it's actually a much more collaborative approach to this industry than you might think.
Oh, you've given us a real good understanding of how you water that entrepreneurial garden here in Michigan. We've been talking to Adrian Omer from Invest Detroit Ventures and from Plymouth Growth Partners of Ann Arbor, Evan Ufer. Thanks so much to both of you for being with us on The Next Idea.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.